where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there in the Central Valley. And if you're listening online, thank you guys for doing that. Or the Facebook. I go live on my Facebook account also. You could go to the 1430 ESPN Twitter page. And there'll be a live broadcast there. So thank you guys for tuning in every Saturday live here at First String Sports. I bring you all the good stuff that's happening up and down the Central section in the world of high school sports. 10 to 12 every Saturday. And right now, 57 degrees. I think it rained last night, right? Woke up and everything was wet. So 57 degrees is going to be the high. And here in Fresno, around 9 o'clock, it's a 50% chance of this rain returning tomorrow. 65% chance of rain. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show, sponsoring 1430 ESPN as well. And, yeah, I think it's supposed to be a wet weekend all around the state. And one of the reasons why I know that is because in Los Angeles, it's supposed to be raining for the next couple days. I am going to Disneyland. I haven't been to Disneyland in 7 years. If you listen to the show enough or follow me on social media, you know I'm a huge Star Wars guy. Huge. I don't know. It's a lot of Star Wars memorabilia, right? I'm kind of one of those guys. Obviously, the movies. And I haven't been to the Galaxy's Edge, the new Star Wars-themed land at Disneyland. I haven't been. A lot of my friends have been. I said, I can't believe you haven't been there, Paul. What's going on? And there's a ride called the Rise of the Resistance that's supposed to be incredible. And people can't talk about it around me because there's a huge spoiler. So I'm going to Los Angeles. Actually, leaving right after the show, driving there and checking it out on Sunday. But it's supposed to rain, but I don't care. I think that's going to limit the amount of people that are going to be there. So that might be a plus for me. I don't care that it's going to rain. So really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to the rest of the show. We got a lot of really good guests, and I know you guys are going to love hearing from these guys. Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be talking after the break, as always. He was at Bullard and Edison boys game last night. Bullard looks really, really strong this year. They made a huge case, for a CMAC title. San Joaquin Memorial lost to Edison. I know there are a few factors because of that loss. But, yeah, Bullard's looking really strong. Gabe and I are going to be talking about that. And Buchanan and Clovis, they had that huge dual wrestling match on Thursday. I guarantee there's nothing like it, at least in the United States. Right, there's nothing like it as far as high school wrestling. They put on quite a show. They pull out all the stops. There was a Rocky theme. I think it was the Clovis kids came out in Rocky robes playing the Bill Conti fanfare from Rocky. So looking forward to talk the game. Maybe a little bit Fresno State football talk as well. After that, Todd Brown. He is the head boys basketball coach at Emmanuel High School. Around 10:35, we'll bring it on. Todd, he's got a state championship with Modesto Christian, is Fresno Pacific's second all-time leading scorer. Previously coached at Kingsburg, led them to a section title a few years ago. Always look forward to talking to Todd. We actually broadcasted, Gabe and I broadcasted their game against Selma, their home game against Selma. And they lost 82-69. Selma looked really strong. And I think Emmanuel had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after the game because they took care of Washington Union 75-57 last night. Yeah, the storied program of Washington Union. Todd Brown, they got a couple really good seniors. Always good to catch up with Todd. At the top of hour number two, Central Valley Christian boys basketball coach Josh Bergman joins us. It's his first year at the helm. He's not an on-campus coach, believe it or not. We're going to get into this a little bit. Josh is an almond farmer. I don't think there's too many basketball coaches out there that are almond farmers, but Josh Bergman is. I've known Josh since college. We went to college together. A great guy. He's got a stud freshman, AJ Johnson, averaging about 25 points a game. So we're going to be talking with Josh at the top of hour number two. Bottom of hour number two, we got a double dip. We got San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball coach Brad Rosnowski, friend of the show, and his star junior, Julius Olarewaju. The dude is putting up some points. He's playing some really good basketball right now. They beat Madera last night, 81-54. Julius had a 24-14-6 line in that one. That is a stat stuffer. Huge win for San Joaquin Memorial last night in regards to points. He'll be taking on, actually, they're hosting Bullard on Tuesday. Maybe a little bit of a changing of the guard. Again, we're talking with Gabe Camarillo about that, but that is a huge game, not only with CMAC implications, playoff seeding implications, but there might be, yeah, Bullard's got, their top players are young dudes, and I know San Joaquin Memorial has some young players as well. Yeah, I mentioned that Gabe and I called that Selma and Emmanuel game on Wednesday. Last Tuesday, I went to Clovis West at Buchanan and saw both the girls' games and the girls' game and the boys' game. And just observing before the boys' game, there was Coach Vance Wahlberg talking with Buchanan coach Tom Ulrich. And, yeah, it was neat to see those two legendary guys chop it up before the game. So, I did a little research, kind of a deep dive in the amount of victories. That's what I wondered when I saw those two legendary coaches. We know of Orlich's run at Clovis West, right, before he went to coach at Stanford, and now back in the Central Valley coaching at Buchanan, and obviously Wahlberg's two stints at Clovis West. He's currently in his eighth year. How many total wins between both of those guys were standing on the court? Total wins in high school. So let's start with Tom, Coach Orlich. 833 career wins at the high school level with Clovis West, like I mentioned, from 2003 to 2016, and South Lake Tahoe. He has, and I added 16 with this year, so he's currently, so that was, the 833 was before, so add those 16 from this year, he's at 849. All right, pretty incredible. And you're going to add 669 for Wahlberg before the season, and he's got 19 this year. He's at 687. So let's combine them. And according to my Common Core math, let's see if I'm still pretty sharp. 1,501 total wins were standing on the basketball court before Clovis West and Buchanan. That is a heck of a lot of wins between those two. The boys beat Buchanan, Clovis West boys, 72-60. It was tight for a little bit in the third quarter, cut it to, I think, 8 points at one point, but prevailed 72-60. And the girls, this is last Tuesday, Clovis West girls won 73-41. So last night, I went and checked out Clovis West girls and the Clovis girls. And a rematch, right, lots of rematches. Those teams play each other twice during the regular season, and a lot of times, especially the last few years, they've met in the playoffs. And last year was one of the wins that shocked a lot of people, not only in Central Section, but in the state, when Clovis defeated Clovis West on their home gym. Talking about Clovis West. Well, Clovis West, they made sure that didn't happen this year. Even though Clovis jumped out to a 7-0 lead after that, it was all Golden Eagles. They prevailed 80-41. Ended up being a 39-point win for the Golden Eagles. They are in prime position to run the table once again, as they've done in the past, go 10-0, clear-cut number one team in the Central Section. And then I wanted to watch just a little bit of the boys' game. It was feeder night at Clovis West, so there were a lot of kids there, a lot of kids. Tell you what, that snack bar line was really, really long. But, yeah, it was the first quarter that I don't think I've ever seen in my years of watching high school basketball. Clovis West scored 42 points in the first quarter, guys. 42-7. Now that's, 8-minute quarters, right? Michael Espinoza, who's a really good football player, a role player on the basketball team, hit 5 3-pointers in a row and scored 17 points, had a couple free throws, 17 points in that one quarter by himself. But 42-7 ended up being a running clock. 112-48 was the final score in that one. So Clovis West, again, the boys are looking strong. Huge game on Tuesday. Clovis West to Clovis North for the boys. Both teams are 4-0 heading into that one. Clovis West is looking strong, but Clovis North is as well. They got some big shooters. They got Connor Abinson and, Jordan Espinoza. Lucas Jones had a really good night last night shooting the ball for Clovis North. So that is going to be one of the places to be for darn sure. But, of course, Gabe and I are going to be broadcasting a game, and we are doing that San Joaquin Memorial game hosting Bullard. So we're going to be broadcasting that game. Super excited to bring you that one. All right, we got a couple minutes here. Big NFL weekend, isn't it? Down to the final eight. Two quarterbacks from the Central section are playing in these games this weekend. All right, so we got Jordan Love from Liberty Bakersfield. And, of course, Josh Allen from Fireball for the Bills. Jordan Love for the Packers. So Texans at Ravens at 1:30 today. Packers at Niners at 5:15. Right? That's the hot one of the day, at least here in California. Niners are favored by 10. But Jordan Love, gosh, that guy has been super efficient. He's throwing lasers all over the field. We know what he did against the Cowboys last week. That was embarrassing for Cowboy fans. But what a great kid Jordan Love is, first of all. Great journey. Go ahead and Google his name. He's been through a lot in his life, right? Going from high school, a tragedy happened when he was a teenager. People doubted him as being a first-round draft pick. I don't think Aaron Rodgers helped at all, right? He wasn't the mentor that they were looking for. But here he is playing the Niners in a playoff game, 5:15. And then Bucks at Lions on Sunday at 12, and then the Chiefs at the Bills game at 3:30. A couple things of note. So the Bills have won 3 out of 4 against the Chiefs during the regular season, but not in the playoffs, right? The Chiefs got those two wins in 2020 and 2021, that 13-second game where the Chiefs were able to drive down Mahomes and send it to overtime, and then they got the win in overtime. Josh was incredible in that game. A little interesting fun fact when I did a deep dive here before we hit a break and talked to Gabe Camarillo. A lot of talk about roughing the passer, right? Protecting the quarterback. And Josh is a big guy. Everybody knows that. He slid last week, right? And he got a personal foul called, a late hit on the quarterback. And Josh is so big, right? Like, I don't think it mattered. But Ed Hockley's son, Sean, he's reffing the game. And he's one of the NFL's more, let's say, active referees. During the regular season, he threw an NFL-high 14 flags for roughing the passer, 5 more than the next closest referee. He's thrown 61 flags for roughing the passer since 2018. All right? We know home field advantage for the Bills. Protect Josh Allen. Are they going to protect Patrick Mahomes like they do all year? Well, we'll see. So something to keep an eye on that one. But, yeah, obviously we're rooting for Josh. We want the Bills to win. A lot of Niners fans out there, and with Jordan Love taking on the Niners. So, yeah, lots of stuff to watch this weekend. Yeah, all right, that will wrap everything up. In my opener, I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about the Bullard and Edison game we went to. We'll preview Bullard and San Joaquin Memorial. A couple thoughts around boys basketball, maybe a little bit about girls basketball. Coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of March Madness.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. You found us. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can find me on Twitter at 1430 ESPN. I don't like to call it X yet. I'm still not used to that. Call it Twitter. You guys know where Twitter is, right? I was telling Jorge here, who helps me out at First String Sports, yeah, a little bit of NFL talk. I mean, we got two quarterbacks from the Central section in the playoffs this week. Jordan Love with that huge win for the Packers, torched the Cowboys, and obviously Josh Allen for the Bills took care of the Steelers, now taking on the Chiefs. So a lot of fun to talk about those guys. Also a lot of fun to talk about my man Gabe Camarillo. Home field advantage, 3 to 5 every Monday through Thursday. My partner in crime, talking about high school basketball. We broadcasted Emmanuel and Selma. And next week, we got a big one. We're going to talk about that in a second. But, Gabe, last night, you were able to watch Bullard firsthand. We had them early in the year in the Clovis West tournament, but they weren't at full strength quite yet. And, man, they're putting the you know, anywhere between 80. I think they scored 100 against Hoover. Those guys are energized. There's just a new sense of, you know, we know Buller won a Central Section Championship a few years ago, but this year's team, they have a lot of energy, and they know how to score the basketball, don't they?
They really do. That 100-point game was a lot to do with free throws, and then so did Hoover scoring 80, just a very heavy free throw game for both teams. But it doesn't matter if it's from the free throw line, the three-point line, mid-range, at the rim. This team has multiple different scorers that score multiple different ways. Dalen Felder being added to the fold from Clovis East just brings more dynamic scoring to this team. You have a Felder kid who can shoot a lights out from beyond the arc, is a really good passer, has great vision, had great full-court passes last night, 2 assists that way, 6 on the night, and 18 points from him. And Javance Coleman Jr., usually when you pass him the ball and he's wide open from beyond the arc, he's going to knock down that shot. So you got shooters in Sam Allen, Coleman, and Felder. Inside the paint, Jaleel Jackson and Keyshawn Johnson clean everything up. And James Miranda, an energy guy, they had him in the starting lineup last night, and he makes so many clutch defensive plays, 4 steals and 4 assists before halftime started. And I was really impressed with his energy as well. So that starting five of Miranda, Felder, Coleman, Jackson, and Keyshawn Johnson, as athletic and talented as any that we've seen in Division One, they look really impressive for a team that has multiple underclassmen starting.
Yeah, it seems like they're gelling just at the right time. Again, talking about their big matchup at San Joaquin Memorial on Tuesday. Usually when you got a team that's super talented like that, you see a little bit of hero ball or, hey, it's time for me to get my shot. But it doesn't seem like that's the case with this year's Buller team.
I honestly was wondering that too, and I talked to Tim Amundsen about it on Thursday. I had him on the show, and I believe this is young Chris Paul working with a young Chris Wade or Dwayne Wade, where you got like Chris Paul had the Hornets, that was his team, and they were really good right away when he entered, and then you had Dwayne Wade's Heat, who were really good right away. Of course, they had a Shaq, but Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul had their respective teams. Imagine they tried playing together, and you got two very young stars, let's say mid to late 2000s, and they're making it work. Like, sometimes it's Felder's night and Javance will pass on the ball. Last night, Javance got on a hot streak in the third quarter and Dalen served him an assist for most of his make. So, like I said, Felder had 6 assists last night, 18 points from him. Pretty efficient night from him shooting. Felder doesn't take that many shots, honestly. He's very, I would say, balanced when it comes to offense. He looks to distribute just as much as he looks to score, and that's actually really important for this Bullet offense, because when you got two guys who are selfless like that, who are your best players, usually leads to good things for everyone else as well.
And we're gonna be talking with Coach Roz and Julius at the bottom of hour number two from San Joaquin Memorial. But Gabe, thinking about that game, the matchups, How does Bullard stack up against San Joaquin Memorial? I know that Parker Spees is out with an ankle injury. That's a huge loss for San Joaquin Memorial. He provides a little bit of everything at 6'6". But thinking about matchup-wise and in that small gym at San Joaquin Memorial, that home court advantage that they have there, how do you see that game playing out?
I wonder how the two bigs for Bullard, Jaleel Jackson and Keyshawn Johnson, they're not as tall as Dre Davis. They're not as, I would say, big as Dre Davis. I think Davis maybe has the advantage inside there, and that's where Memorial should capitalize. That's what they did last year with Mike Davis Jr. They used him as a nightly double-double threat to neutralize the smaller Buller team. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Memorial's defense is going to have its toughest test in league play all year long against these two guards, Felder and Coleman. The X factor for me is Julius Olenruwaju. He's played extremely well over these last three games. All of them have been 20-plus point wins for the Panthers. Memorial beat Sanger, Madera, and Garza, and this was after losing to Edison. So it's easy to look at this game and say Buller beat Edison by 25 and Edison beat Memorial, but Memorial did not have their head coach for a tough road game, for an interim head coach or acting head coach, whoever was there. It's tough to win a game at Edison to begin with. It's especially tough when you know it's pressure-packed, that you have to win every game in league play to have a shot at the league title outright. And so I don't put that loss against the Panthers. Olenruwaju is averaging 17 and 11 over these last three games, and I think as long as he plays to his level, the Panthers have the edge just slightly. Now, if there are turnovers from Memorial, Buller's going to win.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. We'll see if Buller finds themselves down by 10 points or more. you know, they could come back really fast, especially with their shooters. So we're excited about that one. Gabe, you know, I mentioned that I saw a lot of track basketball this week. You know, the doubleheader on Tuesday with Clovis West and Buchanan, and then the Clovis West and Clovis girls last night. And then I saw almost up until halftime of the boys game between Clovis West and Clovis. But, hey, that track, it's looks like it's a two-team race between Clovis West and Clovis North. Again, they play Tuesday. We wish we could clone ourselves and go to both those games. But, yeah, how do you see Clovis West and Clovis North matching up on Tuesday?
That's a great matchup. And I'm going to have my question answered of, can Clovis North guard a big guy, you know, a 6'9 Chris Boudreau? That's going to be the X factor in this game as well, is how does that go down in the paint? Does Jordan Espinoza deny him? Does Espinoza block his shot? How does Boudreau defend Espinoza? And can Connor still drive to the paint consistently with a 6'9 center who's a good shot blocker? Chris Boudreau's a good shot blocker. That's going to be kind of what decides how Clovis North rolls offensively. But North can also shoot threes. McKay Amundson over 45%. Lucas Jones over 40% from beyond the arc. And then Connor Amundson can shoot as well. Espinoza is good for a deep three every now and then. And I think when you got 1 through 5, the North Broncos match up extremely well with the West Golden Eagles. The problem here is I think West has a little more depth. I say that knowing that North just beat Buchanan by 25. I think it was, let me see, I have it right here, 82-57. Yeah, so that is a more convincing win over Buchanan than Clovis West had a few days prior. Do you make that a big deal or no deal?
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal. I think that, you know, Clovis West, you know, the game was at Buchanan. It was on the road. But again, sometimes it's hard to shoot in that Staples Center. And if Clovis West knows anything, they know how to defend the perimeter for sure. So, you know, the scouting report on each other, those things have been around for 4 or 5 years because these teams and players know each other very, very well. Gabe, yeah. I got to ask you about Clovis and Buchanan wrestling on Thursday, that duel. I haven't been in a few years, man. I miss it. Describe what you saw, the environment, for people that, you know, may not know exactly how extravagant, how cool that event is.
Yeah, it's kind of the showcase event for Clovis area wrestling when Buchanan and Clovis meet up in the big one. It's like the Super Bowl, I would imagine, for these two programs. And that's kind of saying a lot because they've won 21 state championships together. They have the last 12 straight in a row. And Buchanan has the last 7 in a row. And that's crazy to think they haven't lost. Buchanan Bears Wrestling hasn't lost to a California program since 2015 when they lost to Clovis in the big one. So when it's not Clovis, it's Buchanan. When it's not Buchanan, it's Clovis as the top team to be in the state. Having said that, that's why it's so big when they face off against each other. Buchanan has dominated this rivalry lately. I was really impressed, and so was head coach Troy Tierpelli, with some of, not the projected wins, like superstars like Rockland Zinkin, who's top 15 in the country, you expect him to win. A superstar like Joseph Toscano, top 5 in the country, you expect him to win. But there were several, according to Tierpelli, fringe matchups. Those classes where it's like, okay, they can easily take our guy down as much as we can take theirs down. So that is where this was decided. Shawn Michael Roberts won one of those 50-50 matchups. Another fringe matchup was Alec Dansby coming from behind in the last minute. And I know he was an all-track center. I didn't know he was a superstar wrestler as well. So good for Dansby. Good for Shawn Michael Roberts. Another guy who caught my eye in a very exciting match was Adrian Reyes of Clovis. Won in overtime. I mean, there's very exciting things in sports. You know, bottom of the ninth in baseball. A final minute of a basketball game tied. But an overtime wrestling duel, that has to be top of the list. So just so many exciting parts of Thursday night's big one. And it was really cool to see a packed house because everyone loves wrestling in Clovis. And it makes you wonder, and I hate to be, you know, a cynical guy here, but with wrestling so good in the Valley, you would think Fresno State would have a wrestling program and take advantage of some of the great nationally ranked stars they have in their own backyard. But I don't make the rules, right? They got golf and they got cross country and track. I don't know if we're as good as that here as we are at wrestling.
Wrestling, Fresno State, good. Yeah, I think that's got a return for sure, Gabe. All right, we got about 30 seconds here before we bring on, take a break and then bring on Todd Brown of Emmanuel. A couple Fresno State news and notes regarding football. Daniel Gomez from Hanford, he was offered, he posted on his Twitter account, The dude is a stud. He came on the show with Coach Cannon Sanchez. That guy is bigger than I thought, man. He is a well put together young man. Again, he's got one more year at Hanford. He's got that offer. That's really cool. And then that stud transfer from USC, Corey Foreman, he's on campus. He's delivered too. So super excited about that. But what I noticed, Gabe, on the Twitter account for Fresno State football, they said they're going out and recruiting, and Coach Jeff Tedford was front and center on that tweet, picture of him. All signs are signs are pointing that Coach Tedford is returning.
Yeah, all signs are pointing to that. And you just got to wonder, were they trying to keep this secret? Obviously not if they're putting him out there. So why not say something? Why not say, hey, Coach Tedford is experiencing this, but he recovered from it, and now we're ready to move forward. I am curious if we'll ever get a public explanation. You know, I was telling Andrew Martin this on my show, and I'll leave you with this thought. I told him last month it's going to take months for them to say anything, and he was like, no, Gabe, we'll find out in a few weeks. And I said, you don't know this Fresno State communications department like I do. They will not tell you until it's like told of them to tell us. I think Tedford's probably keeping this information from them. So I don't blame Fresno State as much as I blame the person who could be the primary source. You know, he could easily post a video on social media saying, hey, look, it's me. I'm recruiting and I'm healthy and I'm going to coach 2024. The fact that he hasn't done that actually kind of concerns me more than it makes me think that he's fully ready to come back.
Well, that would mean a lot to the people in the Central Valley.
It would.
Of course, we're concerned for Coach Tedford and his health as well. Good stuff as always, Gabe. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, so actually, let me ask you this real quick. When do we find out, do you think? Do we ever hear from him? Do we ever find out?
January 20th, right? So I think we said last time we talked about this, within a week would be nice. So we'll keep with that. Within a week would be nice.
All right, we'll check in again next week and see if you're still saying in a week.
You bet. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking with Emmanuel Boys basketball coach, Coach Todd Brown, on 1430 ESPN. All right, we got Todd Brown, boys basketball coach at Emmanuel High School. The Eagles are currently 11-10 on the year, 3-0 in league. Todd's a graduate of Modesto Christian, where he won a state championship. Good stuff there. Second-year coach at Emmanuel. Defeated Washington Union last night, 75-57. So, Todd, how's it going, man? How's your Saturday so far?
Oh, it's going good. Saturday's going good. Full of youth basketball here out at Emmanuel. But, yeah, it's going great.
All right, youth basketball. You guys utilizing both gyms, the old gym and the new gym. You got a bunch of rugrats running around?
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. We got the girls in the morning. Coach LeBeau puts them through some good workouts, and they play some games. And then we got the boys coming here in a little bit.
You get a pretty good beat on who's coming. Who's coming up through the ranks. I know you guys have an elementary school and a junior high there on campus as well. So by the time they reach high school, the goal is always to, you know, first of all, know the kids and know their ability, but get to know the parents as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's a unique and nice situation just to be able to, you know, I also teach one junior high class, and so just to be able to be around the junior hires, and my kids are at the elementary, so knowing a lot of the kids and parents, and I have a pretty good idea of what's coming, and I look at that. You know, I kind of look at that projection pretty often and just kind of, seeing what we got coming down the pipeline.
Well, whenever you teach junior high classes, you got to be a special kind of teacher. That's for darn sure, because I'm around junior high kids all day, man, and those guys can bounce off the walls, that's for sure. So hats off to you for teaching a junior high class as well. So last night you guys had a nice bounce-back win over Washington Union. I talked about it on air, and you guys lost to Selma at home and probably took a little bit of a pride hit, so to speak. But what was the difference last night? You guys come out with more energy, focus more on, on the defensive end and rebounding. What was the main difference?
Yeah, really, it was just a focus after the Selma game. You guys were there. It was you just came out very flat, kind of in a fog, and we started game slow, but that one was even slower, and a testament to Selma too, just how they play and aggressive, and they get after it. But yeah, we just talked about that can't happen. There has to be some ownership on the team of making sure that you guys are prepared to come out and battle, and not come out and you know, dig yourself a big hole in your intensity and defense and rebounding. And someone just came out and popped us in the mouth, and, you know, that's what we're trying to do to other teams. But, yeah, it's good teams. You can't get down that much and expect to win. We came back a little bit, but the boys answered that well, and came out last night with a lot more energy and ownership of their side of things, and so it worked out.
And sometimes a Wednesday game followed by a Friday game can be tough, especially after a loss, and you got Thursday's practice. And as a coach and coaching staff, you got to have to think, well, we're going to come down hard on the team on Thursday. Are we going to run them to the ground and do all these drills and make them pay for that loss? Or are you going to maybe take it a little bit easy and take a different approach? What approach did you take in that next day practice after that loss?
Yeah, we definitely took a different approach. I always talk to my coaches and get their input, and we kind of collaborate on the group text and, you know, get our thoughts out there, and then I make a final decision. But we actually didn't practice. We met in my room. We watched film of the Selma game, watched a little bit of Washington Union, and, you know, I figured on-court stuff that we could do today would probably be worth, you know, 5 to 10 points versus Washington Union, but off-the-court stuff, just the mental and the preparation and the, you know, really just guys taking leadership and ownership, that's probably worth, you know, 15 to 25 points. So we stayed in my classroom, and you know, the coaches left, and I said, hey, you guys talk about stuff. You don't have to tell me what you guys say. You guys just got to figure some things out. And, you know, us coaches figured we'd know if it worked or not by the start of the first couple minutes of the Washington game. So they did a good job. I'm proud of them, because I know we got some good leaders on the team, and I know that I'm pretty confident that the conversation was a good use of time. So
absolutely, it definitely worked against Unit. And I wonder, Todd, would a young coach, a young Todd Brown coach, taking that same approach?
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot over the past 10 or 11 years. But especially, you know, I think we're going to talk about it, but just with my numbers and my main guys playing so many minutes and stuff, you know, I would want to say yes as a young coach would do that, but I don't know if I would have. But yeah, just the rest too on their body. It worked together well. I think it was a good suggestion by my assistants, and it worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about a couple of your star seniors here in a second, but it's been a topsy-turvy year for you guys. You started off with a 3-point win at Clovis, and then you guys took it to Fowler, and then you got a pretty significant injury to one of your top players, one of your major ball handlers, and then you went through a little bit of a losing streak. And, you know, now with last night's big win against Washington Union, you're going to play Central Valley Christian next Tuesday. You know, what is the best way to describe your season so far as a coach?
It definitely has been unique. Even going back to preseason, you know, some guys that we thought we were going to have that, you know, all sorts of various reasons. Preseason was more like, hey, we're going to have numbers and subs and pressure and get after guys. And just, you know, stuff happens, and that's not what it turned out to be. And then probably – out of all my years coaching, the worst year as far as sickness goes, and I know I've talked to other coaches and been the same, where it's really not even a sickness that guys can push through. I had some really tough guys that just they came all the way to the game, and then they were like, "Coach, I can't do this."
Yeah.
and I believe them 100%. And so, yeah, it's been very unique in that aspect. But you know, the goal, just whoever we have, whatever we got, we pulled up a kid from the JV team that's doing a great job. And whoever we have, you know, we just got to get better each game. And then, you know, Lord willing, we get Micah Vosser back, the guard that you mentioned. And, you know, and so some of those things are starting to come together. We're healthy. That point guard, he's actually on an appointment right now. And so we'll see how all that goes, and hopefully have him this next week.
And your two seniors that, you know, you knew you were going to lean on this year, really good players last year, Mika Topolzingas and Tad Tibbett. You know, those guys have been your mainstays, and you've had those guys in your program. You know their skill set. You know what they bring to the table. I think Mika was the one that was sick for a while, right? So you missed his game, averaging, what, probably about close to 20 points, if not 20 points a game for you. You know, how are those two guys, help the team this year? They probably felt a lot of pressure their senior years. They got to come through every game. But how have those two guys played out this season for you?
Oh, those two guys are awesome. They're definitely will miss them a lot next year. But just to be able to have two guys that, you know, that Clovis game for anybody that was there, to have two guys that can just take the ball, especially early in the season when you're not executing perfectly and stuff, that can just go get you a bucket. Like, that's a luxury that I know many years haven't had. And, it's just really, really nice. And they're at everything. They are good examples for the younger guys. And they really worked on their game and their bodies. This off-season Cat was hurt a little bit last year. And so they've been strong, even though they're playing a lot of minutes. Teams are going after them. They've stayed strong thus far. And so I just pray that they can the rest of senior year. And hopefully we can, send them out in a good way.
Yeah, those two guys are really, really good players. Could do a little bit of everything. Could rebound, shoot the basketball from the outside, sees the court very, very well. You guys, you returned, Coach, to Modesto, right, to play in the Modesto Christian Tournament, your alma mater. Do you think your players' eyes were opened up a bit to the level of basketball that was played there? I believe there were a couple different tiers, right? And you guys were in the top tier, but they saw some pretty good basketball. Do you think their eyes were opened up to oh man, this is some high level stuff?
Yeah, for sure. And it was actually a blessing because that was right when we were going through our sickness and stuff. We were actually shooting up seven guys every game that tournament, which was nuts. But it actually worked out because we actually got four games that were really good levels of competition for us. A lot of the local teams from up there, so teams that we would never even play, but they were all, battles. And 16-team tournament, usually the teams that win the first night, those eight are pretty tough, and they duke it out the next 3 days. And then we lost that first game, so we had some, especially for having seven guys, we had some matchups that were really good for us, and ran out of steam on a couple of them, but we naturally how tournaments go, you don't win, you play earlier and earlier and earlier as days go on. But we would always bring the team back at night and watch the semis and different games like that. So yeah, that was part of the goal in going to that, is opening the eyes to, okay, this is what's out there. This is what, Coach Brown expects of this program, eventually. And yeah, and they enjoy watching. It's just good basketball, and so that was a good tournament for us. All things considered, it was a positive, and so really thankful for Bryce for having us up there, and it was a good time.
Talking with Todd Brown, the head boys basketball coach at Emmanuel High School. Todd, I think for people here in the Clovis and Fresno area, you kind of hear about Emmanuel. I think it's that school in Reedley. You're not quite sure, where they're located and the brand of basketball that they have. If you think about it, though, next to Washington Union, Emmanuel does have the second most Central Section or Valley titles, whatever you want to call it these days, Central Section titles in section history. They're at 20 right now. I think Emmanuel got on the map when Colin Slater and Darren Pearson Jr. and Nate Kendricks, when they played at Emmanuel during those years. You remember they made the open division and were sent as I call sacrificial lambs to go play Chino Hills in the open division that year against all those Ball brothers. But is the goal for you and your program and the school to get back at that type of level, or are you just like, hey, we just want to be the best basketball team we can be, represent our school? Like, what's the mentality of the Emmanuel basketball program right now and moving forward?
Yeah, I think our basketball program and really our school, we do want to compete at a high level. We do want to, we're not naive to we know that that'll take time. And, but we do want to be, mentioned in the same sentence as those teams that are, competing at a very high level around here. And, so that is a goal to get back to that point. And we think, with the, with the right training of what we have, we talked about our school, like the pipeline coming up through here and training them from a young age. And then, you know, just doing things the right way. Even when I was at Kingsburg, you know, we started getting better and, you know, players from other areas that were moving or different things, and they were attracted to that. And so we had our guys that we had brought up from a young age that were developing. And then you mix in, sprinkle in a couple that are surprises and nice surprises, and now you have something special. And that's definitely the goal. We want to be elite. We want to do it the right way. We want to honor God and everything that we do. We definitely want to be the best we can be athletically.
Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, I'm an alum of the school and played basketball there in the old gym. The new gym was built after I left. I still call it the old gym and the new gym. So a lot of memories from Emmanuel High School. I found some old newspaper clippings cleaning out my mom's house. My mom's about to move, so she had a bunch of mementos there. So that was a lot of fun to find those old pictures and snapshot them and send them to my old teammates. So lots of good stuff has happened over the years at Emmanuel. Todd, I want to ask you a couple questions personally. You've won a state championship at Modesto Christian, played at Fresno Pacific College for 4 years, left as the school's second time all leading scorer, and then you had a little stint playing some pro basketball, playing overseas. What's like a wild and wacky story of you playing overseas? I've heard some in the past of a, you know, guys getting hurt and they being sent to a surgeon, and like the hospital looked like one of those horror movie hospitals. Like, what? This guy's not operating on my knee, man. I got the rest of my career to think about. I don't think you went through anything extreme like that, but is there like a cool, interesting story that you can share with us with your time overseas?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Western Australia for the main part of my professional career, and it was, I mean, just the people there, I fell in love with the Australians. I can't wait to take my family back and visit some of those old teammates. But, yeah, just the, I mean, the animals and the spiders and the how many poisonous things are over there. Like, learning about that, I was over there with my wife, and that was kind of like something you'd always keep an eye out for. We would train our team in an awesome location, and we were right on the beach, basically. And so we'd train on the beach and in the water and stuff, and everything. I can't remember what they called them, but there were some things stinging me one day, like just doing this workout in the water. And it was like, guys, like, why am I the only one? I don't know if they were playing a joke on me. I still don't really know what was going on, but, And then in the preseason tournament, I'd been, you know, you said second leading scorer. Part of that's just, I was fortunate not to get injured throughout my college career, like nothing major. And, you know, my preseason tournament over there in Australia, try to get over a screen, and I sprained my AC joint, my shoulder pretty bad. And so, you know, pro basketball, there's the conversation right away, like, all right, well, if it's bad, we're sending you home. And if it's not, then we'll talk about staying. So I'm like, are you serious? I just got here. Like, is this really happening? But it worked out, ended up staying. And, you know, turned out to be a good year. But those are a couple of things that I remember that were a little bit different or not on my radar.
And probably getting paid too, right? Like, what am I getting paid in, or how am I getting paid, or how all that works?
Yeah. I'd known a guy that I'd competed against a guy that played there the year before me. And so I kind of was able to talk to him and have a lot of peace that, hey, we're, you know, they'll take care of you, and, you know, they're not shady at all. So that was nice. Cause yeah, I've heard a lot of those stories too. And I think that's a little bit less prevalent in Australia. I think they do a pretty good job in their leagues over there.
Good. You're not being paid in like goats or a farm animal or anything like that. That's good to hear. All right, no. Todd, we got about another minute here. Let's roll back to your team. So you guys are base Division III, correct? For playoffs?
Yes.
Base Division III. You know, and you're playing Central Valley Christian on Tuesday. I'm excited for that game. Again, I wish I could go to that game as well. We're talking with Josh Bergman. Ironically enough, this is the CBC and Emmanuel show, apparently. And talking with Josh, who you guys are playing. So, you just going to keep rolling, keep putting that pressure, taking your shots when you can against CBC. What's the game plan? I don't want to give too much because maybe Josh is listening while he's driving over here right now. But, you know, what's the – What do you expect when you play against CBC on Tuesday?
Oh, no, I love Josh. We talk about our teams with each other a lot. We go to church together, and we that. So it's not a big deal. But yeah, I know they have a lot of good players. Like they have a lot of good pieces, and so we gotta all of our guys. Like you know, some teams use a couple guys. You really got to key on. Like they got a lot of weapons, and so all our guys have to be ready to just play really good team defense, and then on offense, yeah, just not being hesitant and you know going at them. They got some size, they got some stuff like that, but just being smart, taking care of the ball. And I mean, I know I'm not giving you much here, but that's really, I mean, we talk about the basics a whole lot more than we talk about anything fancy here. So yeah, we just got to come in. The mentality, like we were talking about between Selma and Washington Union, that's really the biggest thing. We got to keep that rolling. So hopefully we figured some things out last night that we can roll into to CBC. Because, they're tough. So it'll be a fun matchup.
All right, good stuff. That was Todd Brown of Emmanuel. So I'll ask Josh the same thing, and we'll see if we can compare notes and game plans against each other. So looking forward to talking with Josh Berkman after the break. But, Todd, thanks for joining us, and get back to those little Rugrats, those future Emmanuel Eagles.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it, Paul.
Yeah, no problem. All right, Todd Brown, coach of Emmanuel. Yeah, Josh Berkman, head coach at CZC, coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, here on 1430 ESPN, live at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. In between Sierra and Herndon, man, this place has been hopping. I'm not kidding. This place has been absolutely hopping all morning. People are getting their Letterman's jackets fitted, buying baseball bats. This is your high school headquarters right here, First String Sports. This is definitely the place to get all of your goods for the coming years and your Letterman's jackets, of course. If you missed any part of the show or shows in the past, you could go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcast, go to Central Valley Sports Report or the other great shows that we have here on 1430 ESPN. Click on any show. Commercials will actually be edited out. You could skip ahead to whoever you want to listen to. It's a really cool deal. You could download in podcast form as well. It's a really good conversation with Emmanuel boys basketball coach Todd Brown. And we're flipping it. Central Valley, and I promise, I did not plan it this way. It just happened to work out that way. We have Central Valley Christian boys basketball coach Josh Berkman here. They played Reedley last night, man. Had a really good game. We're going to be talking about that. He's a Fresno Pacific grad as well, huh? Imagine that. He's part of a good-sized list of former Sunbirds that are coaches here in the Central section. We're going to talk about that and list some names. It's really, really cool. In the early 90s, there was a really good basketball community, a lot of pickup games. You know, the basketball teams are really good. John Moore was a coach. And, you know, it was a really good time for basketball here in Fresno Pacific. And now a lot of them are head coaches here around the Valley and up and down the state. And Josh is one of them. So, Josh, first of all, thanks for making the drive from Visalia, man. And you heard Coach Todd Brown, right?
I did. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Love Todd.
Love Todd. And you guys are playing against each other on Tuesday. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit. But, you know, what is this? CBC and Emmanuel, you guys go to church together. You're going to play each other on Tuesday. Is there some type of maybe a friendly wager going on? And you play each other again in the last game of the regular season as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. We're both coming into it 3-0 in league. And this is the last game of the first round of our league, and we get them at home. And I'm just it's a big game for us. The next time we get them on their senior night at their place to wrap up the season, and you know Emmanuel is going to be rocking in that gym, and it's going to be a ton of fun. But no, in all sincerity, whenever we play Emmanuel, I root for them every single time, and it's a joke between Todd and I, but I totally root for Emmanuel every time except when they play us. Like, I'm a big fan of him and their program, and but I definitely want to win on Tuesday.
Of course you do. And you know, how about this question? Who's in your prime? Who's the better shooter, You or Todd Brown? Come on, live here.
I gotta be honest. Todd Brown's way better basketball player than I ever was.
Todd Brown's a good
He's
basketball
legit.
Player.
He's legit. In fact, the first time I met Todd, we were playing against COS. COS coach Rusty Smith would call us in to gather some of the better hoopers and kind of the has-beens. And I remember I first met Todd. I got to play in a game against COS with him, and I thought I was the man. But yeah. Man, when I got him on the team, I realized I'm not the man. He's good.
You're deferring to this
I'll
guy.
Defer to that guy.
He's like 6 foot six, can yeah. shoot lights out, could do a little bit of everything.
He's
okay.
legit. And about 10 years younger than me.
Okay. That's true. That's a very good point. Yeah. So let's talk about last night's game. We'll talk about the season as a whole in a second. But, hey, going into that game, you guys were had won four in a row. Team was playing pretty darn good basketball, and you beat them 87-52. I mean, that's a good old-fashioned whooping, right? So what was working – in that game, who stood out?
So Reed Lee came out, and they're a tough team. They're really well coached. They play hard. They came out and got an 8-point lead early on us. They kind of caught us off guard. They were knocking down shots. We didn't defend the three very well, and we called a timeout, and I just said, guys, we've got to come ready to play, and we just weren't ready at the beginning. And it was a 2-point game, believe it or not, at halftime, 35-33, and it was just a battle. But we made some adjustments. The second half, we came out with a lot of urgency, a lot of intensity, and guarded the three a lot better. And just we're more of a competitive what we want to do on the defensive end. And, yeah, we were fortunate to come out and play a great second half and win the game.
Yeah, that's a big win. And, it's interesting, right, Josh, talking to high school coaches about – coming out with intensity, right? You hear that a lot. Yeah, we didn't come out with fire, and that's high school kids, right? A lot of times they're just not ready to get into the flow right away. You find that every once in a while they need a little bit of a wake-up call, a timeout to like, guys, come on, are we playing basketball tonight or what?
Yeah, I just find it's a challenging year for us from that perspective, just the consistency.
Sure.
And part of it at CVC too is we've had two games this year where I've had my full roster. And that's been tough for us just to build chemistry. We've had illnesses. I heard Todd on the previous segment talking about they've had a lot of the same things go through we've gone through. And we're no excuses. We want to play whoever we have available. But as far as building a team chemistry, you got to have everyone there every day. And it's been that way at practice, through games. And I think we're over the hump of the illnesses and the injuries and the discipline that we've had to learn about. I think everyone's starting to buy in, trust each other, and our team's really, really coming together at the right time.
Talk with Josh Bergman, head boys basketball coach at CVC. And, yeah, I mean, it's January 20th, right? It's about time to finally get everybody healthy and playing their best basketball this season. Just looking at your season so far, right, just the you win two and then lose one, and then you had, what, a five-game losing streak. You played against a couple Division I teams in Frontier and Aurora Grande that you lost to. Lost to Madera by seven and lost to Fowler as well. But then you got a little nice five-game winning streak that you're currently on, wins against Kingsburg 56-50, the defending D3 champs. Do you feel like that game kind of flipped it a little bit? Hey, guys, we just beat the D3 champs. This is how we can play basketball?
Absolutely. That's our signature probably win of the year this year. We finally just had – that was the first game we had all season where we had all 13 guys. And we just came out. It was a defensive battle. Neither team shot the ball well. Kingsburg's incredibly well coached, and they're a large team. They have good size, mm-hmm. and we do too. And shots are tough to make when you have length coming at you. And it was an incredibly high intensity, high effort game. I was really proud to be able to pull it out on top. And we get them again this Thursday as well. So. It's going to be another.
Oh, you got the gauntlet.
It's another grind. Yeah, we got Emmanuel Tuesday and Kingsburg on Thursday at their place. Looking forward to that.
I saw you at a Central Valley Christian football playoff game, right? And we all know what they did in the state playoffs and in the Valley Championship too. And their run to the state championship was an incredible journey. And probably as a basketball coach. You're like, yeah, we're happy one, but I kind of want some of my basketball yes. players that are playing football right now on the team. So I think that's the case with a lot of small schools that their athletes, which we love. We love our athletes playing multiple sports, but you want to have your guys. You want to be at full strength. But one dude that you've had all season, right, you got a freshman star, and I started to hear about this kid. You know, last year, and here he is at Central Valley Christian, A.J. Johnson, he's a dude, isn't he? And, you know, according to the stats there, you probably got some updated stats, but pretty darn close to 25 a game for a freshman.
Yeah, AJ's special. He's sometimes I forget he's only 14 years old.
Gosh.
And, you know, he's super, super competitive, extremely hard worker, probably the hardest worker we have on the team as far as just taking care of his body. He's very disciplined. He wants to perfect his craft. He's got great handle, scoring ability, but he also sees the floor, and he never steps down from a challenge. The kid just – you challenge him, and he'll blow your mind. So, yeah, he's averaging just under 25 points a game.
All right.
Leading us. First game of the year, we're playing Tulare Western, and the coach of Tulare Western, you know, he hadn't seen him. He was a freshman, and he came out with 25 points in the first half, ended with 35, and they were Section 4 champs. And I think that kind of just – I realized, like, wow, this kid's pretty good.
Well, did the coach after the game say – just, like, throw his hands at you, like, what are you doing here, Josh?
Yeah.
What the heck? Where did this guy come from?
It was not – that was not coaching. That's just a very good basketball player playing basketball.
That's awesome.
So, no, I'm glad to have him. Glad he's on my team, and he's a good kid to coach.
Who are some other dudes – on your team? You got like, what, three guys averaging more than 15 points? That sound about right?
Yeah, so we have great, great players. Justin Stroud's a four-year varsity guy, averaging 15 and 7. Just a strong physical presence, a big body, and he can just – he's like the one guy I can say, go get a bucket, he'll get a bucket.
Yeah.
He's just very powerful. I have a 6'8 kid, Caden Lloyd, 15 points a game, 9 rebounds, an incredible shot blocker, stays out of foul trouble. Is just really fundamentally sound. And then I have another first-team All-Leaguer returning, Eric Estrella, a junior. He's averaging 9 points a game, and he's really adjusted his role to becoming just this incredibly unselfish defensive player. And at times, you know, he just soaks up that new role, and he's just helping us lead our team. So we're young. We have two seniors on the team.
And so, then your freshman,
and then the freshman, yeah. And I'm just excited for the future of Central Valley Christian basketball.
And, yeah, speaking of the future, right, you know, you took the job this year. We're going to get into how that all went down. But you're going to be one of the privileged few, Josh. You're going to get to coach your son next year, true story?
That is true. I'm looking forward to it. Jaden's in eighth grade, and he's just
– Is he at Central Valley Christian?
He's at Central Valley Christian. All my kids have gone through there, and he just loves the game of basketball. He's just a chip off a mile block, and he just loves to hoop. He's super high IQ on the court. He's a really hard worker. He's disciplined, dedicated to just being the best he can be. He's a quiet leader, leads by example, and he's just going to be a lot of fun for me to coach. And there's nothing better than being with my family and spending that time with them, because you don't get that back. And that's a large part of the reason I considered this job.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Talk with Josh Bergman, head basketball coach at CVC. I've known Josh since the early 90s. We might get into a couple stories, a couple old Fresno Pacific stories later in the show. But, hey, Josh, all right. So I mentioned in the opener, you are an almond farmer. You're not an on-campus coach. You might be the only almond farmer that's a head basketball coach in California. There might be a few. I'd love to know who they are, or farmer in general. But how'd you get the gig, first of all, and how does this all play out?
So I'm going to answer your question. No, I don't wear boots into practice, and I come dressed in basketball gear.
Well, where do you change at, though?
I change at home.
Okay,
I quit
right.
early. All and right. I'm so thankful my job allows me to do this job and do basketball, and just it's just so much fun. But how did I get the job? So I was privileged to coach under Mike Hackbarth last year, and just kind of be a part of his staff, and no intentions. I had no idea he was going to be stepping aside after the year. And it was actually my wife that really pushed me to, and Coach Hackbarth, to throw my name in the hat. And I know they had a few applicants, and I know what CVC is about. I have four children. All have gone through CVC from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And Jaden's my youngest in eighth grade. And I still have a junior, Emily, who is a junior playing basketball. Lauren LeBeau got the better of her the other night. So at Emmanuel,
right.
So another
right.
FPU guy. So shout out to Lauren. But no, it's just I know what the culture is at CVC. I know what they expect, and it's just an incredible opportunity to be able to impact kids' lives at CVC and coach basketball. It's like a dream job. I can't ask for a better opportunity to just be able to be with kids and impact lives and on a basketball court. Like, doesn't get better than that to me.
I'm curious, Josh. What's like your practice structure like? What do you focus on during practice? Because I'll throw a little bit something out there. So Josh and I, you know, went to Fresno Pacific College together, played quite a few pickup games, taking a couple trips to Las Vegas together. That maybe those files might be buried a little bit, right? Buried where the bodies are.
That's right.
But you know, you got a few nicknames, right? Yeah, I don't know, in front of you or behind your back, but you know, we never got the ball back when we pass it to you. You like to shoot the rock.
I shot the rock too much.
You shot the rock. Oh, you admit it.
No, not too 30 much.
30 years later, okay, you admit 30. It. You finally admitted it. Little yes. Pickup games, right?
Yes.
Josh, quick shooting. But you, I mean, you were a bucket though. Let's be honest. Are you different as a coach, right? Obviously, we're all older and wiser, right? We're not the guys that we used to be in high school and college. But, like, what's your structure like? What are you focused on? Are you, you know, you've scored in the 80s. You've scored in the 50s. You've won a couple different ways. You've run defensively. You've won offensively. Like, what do you focus on with your program?
So my style is, it's actually a 180 of how I played. I was never the best defender. I did like to shoot the ball. I was always an undersized big man. I was too slow to be a shooting guard, so you know, but I would always come off screens and get creative to get buckets. But my team is actually the complete opposite of that. I teach personal responsibility. We own our mistakes. I really preach attitude and effort. We can control those things every single day. I always tell my kids, you can't shoot the ball good every day, but you can certainly control your attitude and your effort. And those are the two things that I really focus on. And that's, defense is a constant. Attitude and effort, that's a constant. Shooting is not. Steph Curry has bad days. And I tell my kids that all the time. But I'm just looking for consistency and then just really owning up to your mistakes. Personal responsibility is a big deal. You know, I teach that to my kids. I try to live up to that same expectations, and I expect that from our program.
And you know, talked about that five-game losing streak that you had, and you know, there was some sickness and different things, but it was the Fowler game that you had to teach a few of the kids a lesson, right? You had to lay down the law, and you know what? Is that the types of things you think could turn around the season? Like, hey, if you're not, you know, committed to the program standards, we're going to sit you, and we're going to let other guys play until you figure it out.
100%. That was a tough game for us. Yeah, we sat a couple kids just for missing practice, and they know my expectations. And it doesn't matter if it's the Valley Championship game. If you're not punctual and if you miss things, then there's consequences for those actions. And that happened that game. We had to sit some key guys, and Fowler took it to us. They're a really good team, and they're well coached. And a team like that, we need to have all of our guys. And when we didn't have them, it cost us a win. But I think from that point, we've bought in. No one's been late. No one's missed. And
funny how that works.
We're starting to get our team molded together, and we're winning some games now.
Absolutely. And, Josh, you know, you mentioned a little bit how, you know, we played with Todd Brown, and you're like, man, yeah, this guy's really good. I'm going to defer to him. You know, your time of playing basketball at Fresno Pacific was, there still had a JV team at that time and a varsity team. You know, some of the guys that, you know, the Greg Zeffelottos and the Lauren LeBeaus and the Dennis Zinks and the Scott Pattersons, those guys. You know, was there a point where at that time at Fresno Pacific, you're like, dang, college basketball at any level? That was NAIA back then. Mm. There were some dudes that played basketball. Was there a point where you're like, man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was?
Absolutely. I played 2 years at Fresno Pacific. I came in under John Moore, 18 years old. And unfortunately for me, he ended up going to Westmont after my freshman year. And the new coaches kind of had a different philosophy, you know, bringing in a lot of junior college transfers and older players that transferred in from other schools. I just realized I'm not a grown man yet. And these were grown men. And I realized I came out of Bakersfield High School, where we had a very successful high school career, won a section title my junior year, and then coming to Fresno Pacific, you know, you get humbled quick.
Sure.
18 years old, you're not that good, because now you're playing against the best players from every school, and these guys were not only the best players at school, they might have been their best players at their college they transferred into. So it was a great experience for me, though. I would not change it at all. The only thing I wish I would have done is stuck it out and finished my last 2 years. I do regret that.
Was there a moment, though, that, like, maybe a specific play or a specific, maybe somebody said something to you that you're like, oh man, this is, yeah, this is a different level.
Yeah, it was, I had this game against Fresno City and Cleveland was the coach and I had a really big game against them. I think I had 38 that game and it was against Fresno City and he comes up to me after the game and he says, "What are you doing at Fresno Pacific?" And I looked at him, I said, I'm not that good. He doesn't understand that I'm just getting destroyed in practice, right, by some of these bigger, older guys. But it was a game where we got to go play the junior colleges, and, you know, it was fun to see Coach Cleveland and just give me that nice little kudos to me. But it was like my one moment in my college career that I can, like, hold my hat on. Like, this guy thought I was really good. That was fun.
And he questioned where you were. What are you doing here? You should be playing Division I or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned, you know, some of those coaches that have been produced from the early 90s at Fresno Pacific. Can't miss, you know, Tim Edmondson, Ty Edmondson. They were there. You know, those guys were great basketball players. You know, I mentioned Dennis Zink, Chris Schultz, who coached at Fresno Christian. Mentioned Lauren LeBeau. John Jones, right? His son Lucas was quite a ball player, played at Fresno Pacific, was the head coach at Clovis for a long time. John's a great guy. Ken Vossler, good friend of ours, who coached at Justin Garza. That's awesome. Greg Zeffelato, who I mentioned, his son is, like, scoring, what, big time at Santa Barbara?
Yeah, I've had the fortunate to be coaching West Coast Elite, and Greg Zeffelato is at a lot of those events. His son's older than mine, but I've got a chance to watch him, and he's phenomenal. And it's fun, this coaching tree that came out of Fresno Pacific. You know, you go through the list, and you could even include, you know, my nephew Daniel Dyke. Yeah. He coached at Fresno Pacific. He's now at Point Loma.
And he was at Clovis North as well.
He was at Clovis North with Tony and John Jones. I think of A.J. Sheeran at North High.
Yeah.
He's doing a phenomenal job. North High is legit, and I really look up to A.J. and as a coach. He's another alum of FPU and their coaching staff. So Todd Brown, obviously. You think of Joey Wells. Lauren LeBeau, I'm so excited. He's back helping out the Emmanuel girls, running an incredible program.
Joey Wells coaching at the Division I level.
Joey Wells?
Yeah.
Yeah, Woody.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Joey and I played against each other in a section championship back in 1991, believe it or not. And Bakersfield High did beat Clovis West 59-58.
Oh.
Just for fun. It's a fun fact.
Fun fact, Bergman against Wells.
Yeah, no, that's good. And then I'm fortunate, too. I have Craig Cummings, who's been a head. He's another FPU graduate. My brother-in-law coaching with me this year. It's been Western varsity boys coach too. And his brother Brent is coaching at Bakersfield Christian. I didn't know if you even knew that, but he's coaching the freshman boys down there with Garrett Brown's program, and they're legit.
Yeah, I was just messaging Garrett this morning.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coaching tree and just that group of guys follow each other, and we have you know, just a lot of basketball minded guys, junkies, but I mean friendships, right? Friendships too. And here we are, Josh, you know, 30 years later, who would ever known that, first of all, you'd be a coach that coaches discipline, right?
Yeah.
That coaches hard work. I mean, how neat is that?
It's a fun community. Like I see Tony Amundsen and sat with him at a Fresno Pacific game, him and John Jones the other night, and just the support they give me, the advice they've given me, you know, Tim Amundsen the same way. When I see Greg at travel tournaments, always just fun stories of back in our playing days and the practices and just that camaraderie that we had. Those are memories that'll last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Josh, we've got about another minute here. All right. So we mentioned Emmanuel and Kingsburg next week. Then you got Union, Exeter, Reedley, and then finish with Emmanuel. You guys seem to be at full strength. You know, what is the big push and what do you hope to see from your team these last couple of weeks and moving into playoffs?
You know, our goal obviously is to go and finish, get a league championship, and then play the highest level we possibly can. My goal is to get us up into the top echelons of teams. I listened to Todd Brown before, and him and I have the same mindset. We want to get up and be respected with those Division I and II teams, and I'm a base Division III. I know myself, Emmanuel, and Kingsburg are all kind of battling for the who's going to be in Division II, who's going to be in Division III, and, you know, I'm hoping to sneak into Division II and see what can happen.
Lay it all out there, right?
I want to play the best.
You got that kind of mentality.
I want to play the best.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the playoffs and what's fair, what's not fair, but I love that mentality. You can control whatever you can control. Play whoever's in front of you. If you want to be the best, you got to play the best. Good stuff, Josh. Great catching up with you, man. I'm so excited for you and your program. And, yeah, we'll have to do it again next year when you got your son on your team.
I can't wait. It's a dream job. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We got a couple friends here that we're going to chat with as well. The basketball community is super strong in the Central Section. No doubt about that. That's Josh Bergman, head basketball coach at Central Valley Christian. All right, we got San Joaquin Memorial in the house right now. Coach Brad Ross and Julius are here. You're going to be hearing from the next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a good conversation with Josh Bergman, first-year head coach at Central Valley Christian. Again, I've known Josh for a long time. I was giving him the business a little bit, but he loves it. You know, when we played basketball in college back in the day, he was a black hole, man. Once you pass the ball to Josh, you knew you weren't getting it back, and it's pretty much a 180 of how he coaches his team. So it took him about 30 years to figure out the game of basketball. Just kidding, because Josh could definitely score. But doing a great job at Central Valley Christian. They're going to be playing Emmanuel and Kingsburg next week. Happy to bring on San Joaquin Memorial coach Brad Rosnowski and Julius Olamirwaju. Hey, how'd I do on that, man? I've been practicing. I've been practicing for 3 years, and I came out clean right now. All right. Panthers are now 14-7, 3-1 in the CMAC after defeating Madera last night, 81-54. First of all, guys, thanks for coming on. I know I totally forgot you guys are playing tonight. I didn't put that in my notes. You guys are playing Modesto Christian tonight at 6:30 at Fresno Christian, and this is a big day for you. So first of all, thank you guys for joining.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us.
All right, so Brad, all right, big news, all right? You experienced a monumental life moment recently, became a grandpa. Talk to me about that. What was your emotions?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. My first grandchild, I told the team and my staff that I was going to go out there as soon as I knew she was in labor, and unfortunately I got COVID, so I missed the birth and I missed one of our games. So, but, yeah, I went out there the weekend after, and Bentley Bradley's his name. He's just I get like 5 FaceTimes a day. I think I had to leave practice once to step out and get a FaceTime. But, yeah, I'm really excited about having a grandson, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's definitely a monumental life moment, something that you'll never forget. Last night, you guys played Madera. You know Madera, they always play tough. They're going to play hard. They got a great coach over there. You know, how'd the game flow out, Brad? We'll talk to you first about that.
Yeah, they always play well in that gym, and it's a great gym to go and to play in. And I know Coach Lozano real well. He Memorial grad. He was my assistant early on when I started, so he does a great job over there. But you know, we're fighting some injuries right now, you know, and obviously everything that's going on with Dre, and obviously we're there for him right now, and so we don't have his services right now, you know. But kind of battled through it. You know, we started 2 freshmen, 2 sophomores, and a junior last night, and Julius played really well, rebounded the ball really well. So able to come away with a win. And our biggest thing right now is just becoming healthy. We're just, no excuses. No one cares about that and us, and it's kind of our own thing. We're just trying to fight through that right now.
Julius, what plays stand out to you last night? Maybe it was a pass you made, because you had, 24, 14, and 6, and we'll talk about those assist numbers in a second. But is there a specific play from last night or a couple plays that stand out to you?
Not really. Well, it was more of a fast break type of game. So it was just kick the ball ahead to the open guy, and then that was it. If we were to get into a set, it was our motion, and then we'll play off of that. But
how many threes last night for you?
One.
Just one? You're okay with that?
Yeah.
You're okay with that, because those assist numbers look really nice. The other, I mean, the 24 points with only 1 3, that means you're getting to the basket and you're getting your shots. So, Coach, I'm seeing lots of assists from Julius over the last couple days, or last couple games, I should say. You know, is that just part of his game that he's really improved on? And, you know, as a coach, you love to see one of your main scorers is, you know, readily assisting.
Yeah, I mean, I've coached a lot of great players, been fortunate. And obviously Julius is right in that realm. But he's probably as unselfish as a kid as I've coached. Probably too unselfish at times. We like to be him a little more aggressive. But he really rebounds and flings the ball up. And that's what we're really trying to teach our kids. So, he's averaging probably in league at least 5 to 6 a game. He's a double-double in league right now, but not just scoring, And I know that all the college coaches know that he can score. So he's just trying to, you know, add those things to his game.
Yeah, Brad, we've talked earlier in the year about this team and how you like this team. They're great kids. They work hard. Coming off a state championship, a lot of question marks, right? You're like, who's going to replace this? Or, you know, where are you going to get a points from? How's your post players going to play? And all those different things. And you mentioned how good of a group this is, absorbing knowledge and putting in the practice and then putting in the games. You know, you mentioned, too, you've come across some tragedy and some adversity as well. But after 21 games, you know, what's the sense of the team and, you know, what are you guys trying to do moving forward?
Yeah, I really like where we're at right now. Obviously, with some injuries, Paul, we're kind of battling that. Like I said, we got three freshmen on the roster. Two are playing a lot right now, play a lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors. You know, we just play really the one senior in Dre. So, you know, obviously next year, real excited about what is coming back. But once we get through these injuries, we got a tough stretch. You know, Modesto Christian is just a special group. Play them tonight, and then we, you know, got a huge game at home against Bullard and Edison and Sanger. You know, so we got four really tough games. So, you know, we'll kind of see what we're made of after these four games. But I really like this group. Great kids, fun to be around, and very hardworking.
So, Julius, so you transfer into San Joaquin Memorial last year as a sophomore. Coming into this season, you know, what were some of your goals? Did you try to take on more of a leadership role, or, you know, what were some of your goals coming into this year?
Yeah, it was more of a leadership goal. With Mike and Amari, our two main guys leaving to go to college, I feel I had to step up as a leader, and guy being one of the oldest on the team, and so it was just more of having everybody connected, all on the same page, and just showing out our skills.
And Brad, you get a very talented kid that transfers in. We heard about Julius as his freshman year. Like, well, there's a kid from Kalinga that's pumping in 30 points a game. And, like, who is this kid? You're trying to find footage on him and trying to find out as much information. And then, you know, you hear he's coming to San Joaquin Memorial. And it's not easy, right? Let's be honest. You know, friendships-wise, chemistry-wise, all those different factors that come in to play in a situation like this. But how have you seen Julius here take maybe, I don't know, negatives, so to speak, or things that could be challenging and turning them to a positive?
Yeah, you hear all that stuff, Paul. You're so right about that stuff. Transfer, how's he going to fit in? And he fit in, man. These kids love him. He loves the kids. And, you know, it starts at home. He's raised the right way at home. He's a coach's son. And I've coached some coaches' sons before, and the IQ is very high. You know, he'll turn the ball over and make a mistake, and before I jump on him, you know, he comes and pats my back and calms me down because he knows he made the mistake. You know, not a lot of kids sometimes don't realize that. But being a coach's son, you know, not a whole lot of teaching you have to tell him. He knows the game, and he's been a joy to have. And I enjoy talking to – first thing college coaches ask me, and they know the kid can play, is what kind of kid he is. And obviously he's a great kid to coach and be around.
Julius, all right. Let's be honest a little bit. Was it tough for you to come into Memorial? Did you – like what did you come in like, man, I got to prove myself to these guys on the court? Did you try to do a little something extra every once in a while? Because I'll be honest, I would have, right? I'd probably feel like you'd have to prove something to the guys and prove that you're a dude as well. So was it tough for you, or was there maybe even a specific moment that helped you?
It wasn't really tough. Coming into my sophomore year, I knew we had Mike and Amari, which are two of the best players in the Central Valley at the time. So it was more of playing my role. Yeah, that big transition from getting all the points to 30 points into just 15 a game, 12 a game. It was hard at times, but we were winning. We led to a state championship, so it was just I sacrificed that for the better of the team.
Well, you just said it, right? You sacrificed that for the good of the team. Let's go back to last year a little bit, Julius. New team, really good players surrounding you, really good coach, tradition, right? San Joaquin Memorial has great tradition. You know, you guys make a run to the state championship game. When do you feel like you guys really, really became a team? Was there a specific game or maybe even a specific play? Like, guys, that was it. I think we've kind of figured it out.
It was after the North game, because we did bad at Damien. We went 1-3. Then we came out here and we lost to North. And we were in the locker room.
At North, right?
Yeah. He didn't even say anything. He was just like, we got to figure this out, and then left. So it was more of us. It was us just buying in together. Like, we're all good at certain things, so let's capitalize on our skills and the stuff we're good at, and let's use that. And that's where we made our run.
What was the neatest moment that stands out to you during your run to the state championship? Obviously winning it when the final buzzer and you guys are celebrating, that's cool, right? Obviously, let's maybe think of another moment, something later, maybe in the locker room, or maybe something another coach or player said to you. What was another really cool moment?
It was the Vanden game. We beat Vanden, and one of my teammates, Brandon Salisbury, he was a senior. He came up to me. He was like, "This is why you transferred. We got together. This is why." And I was just like, "Yo, we really did it. We really gonna do this." So, it was surreal at the time. It felt good, and then, yeah, that's just history.
So I can ask you. All right, when you finally won, when the buzzer did hit zero, and you guys celebrated, did it feel like a movie? Did it feel like an out of body experience?
It did. Hearing that buzzer finally go off, everybody standing up and cheering. It was surreal. And then I was on a high for like the next week.
Oh, for sure.
I felt on top of the world. And then it was just, hey, I felt like the man at school.
Were there some moments where you looked at some of your teammates and you said, "Wow, we really did it"?
Yes.
Like some of those. You just make that eye contact. What? Okay, we did it?
Yeah. It was Brandon again. We looked at each other like, "Yo, we made this run. We actually did it." And then talked a lot of crap to Brad, like, "Yo, we did this.
He did, absolutely. And you showed me a video of the ring. I hadn't seen the ring up close, man. That thing's an absolute beast. Probably weighs like 5 pounds or something. I don't know, man. That is huge. Brad, we've talked about on air, that run that you guys had through the state championship and what Julius has brought to the program. When you got different pieces, right, and you try to figure out how the pieces are going to fit, when you finally figures out, maybe 21 games in, talk to Josh Bergman, he had that coming to Jesus moment in the Fowler game. He had to sit three dudes for discipline, and now they've reeled off five in a row. When you're trying to fit all these pieces out as a coach, and when you see the team play at the level that they can play at, how satisfying is that?
Yeah, it is. Paul and everybody thinks the job here is easy. We got different dynamics coming in. Julius comes in last year. Mike and Amari already played their junior years, and Julius fit a great role. And obviously he's taken on a different role this year, but it's tough. Every year we got some different dynamics, and usually this time of year we start playing well, and it kind of starts defensively, and I kind of think that's where we're at right now.
Julius, I said your name right, man. That made my day on the opener. What is the worst way that anybody has pronounced your name? Or some people may have even given up, right? They're like, "I'm not going to try."
Oh, yeah. It was last year when we played Justin Garza at their gym. He said my first name, and then it was like a long pause. And by the time I was heading back after dabbing the refs up and stuff, he just said, "Oh," at the end. He just didn't even try. He said, Julius,
"Oh."
And just waited, yeah.
Ola Rawaju. And I finally learned how to spell it right, too. The spell check would help me out every once in a while, but now I'm like 9 out of 10, I get it right. All right, so, Julius, what type of games do you prefer to play in? I've seen you in fast breaks. You make really good decisions. You can obviously get to the rim. You're 6'5". You're athletic. What type of plays on the court are your favorite type of plays?
More of transition plays, because it's just running it down the team's throat and then just being able to get back on defense. It gives us that momentum. And then when we do make the play in transition, our bench is hype and stuff. So it's more of a momentum thing.
Brad, how would you best describe Julius's game to people that maybe haven't seen him live and in person?
He is a really, really good shooter, and I think we're not telling him not to shoot, but a lot of college coaches ask me, he's a physical 6'5 guard. He's a physical two, and that's what he's going to play at the next level. So he's really starting to use his body down low and getting some and ones and some buckets, and we'll run some post-ups if they don't guard it right. We'll run it till they guard it right. So it just adds to his game because he's a good shooter. Now that he can attack and get to the cup and use that body. He used his body the other night against Justin Garza, and it probably should have been an offensive foul. I think he shouldered the guy, and the guy ended up in the stands. But they didn't call it. That's what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
In the first half. But we're trying to get him to use his body more, and he's doing a good job of it.
All right, let's go back a bit, Julius. You said we know that your father's a head coach, mm-hmm. right? At West Hills,
yeah,
right on that. What's your first memory of basketball? Were you one of those kids where in the crib maybe had one of those little, you know, soft basketballs, or you remember one of those little hoops, little breakaway hoops?
My first memory, it was before – it's crazy because before he was the college coach, he was the JV coach at the high school. So my first memories of basketball were just me working with the JV players and crying on the sideline doing push-ups and stuff because I was bad.
You were bad.
I was bad.
That's so why. That's why you're crying, because
yeah,
you were bad.
Yeah, and it was just miss layup, go run. Miss layup, go do push-ups. So I was just tired and wanted to go home. Yeah.
When did it click for you then? Like maybe sixth grade or
it was my seventh grade year, because I was doing football. I was enjoying football, but it wasn't like how I enjoyed basketball. And I sat down and told my dad, I was like, I feel like I could be good at basketball. Like, if I really buy into it, I can be good. He was like, okay, so you're done with football? And I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, you're telling your coaches you're done tomorrow. I was like, already?
He's like, yeah. It's time. Yeah. I'm waiting for
he
this.
He was like, you're telling your coaches you're done tomorrow. So that next day, while our football players are leaving, because some of the football players played basketball, while they were leaving, they were like, are you coming? I was like, nah, I'll see y'all later tonight. And I went to the field, told my coaches, they wished me the best, and then, yeah.
So that was seventh grade?
Yeah.
Do you remember a play then maybe after that where you're like, man, I could be a dude out here? Is there like an and one you made, or maybe a three-pointer, a step back three-pointer, or you took it to the hole, or you could dunk for the first time? When did you realize you could be something really, really special?
It was I want to say my freshman year. The first game, just going out, and everything was just like in the flow for me and easy for me. So it was just like, if I keep working and doing good, then it'll all pan out in the future.
Awesome. Who are some of your players you like to emulate, or some of the NBA guys?
Like Bradley Beal. I like watching Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker's game.
I do too.
And then I'm starting to watch a little bit of SGA, Shea, because back to him saying how I got to use my body, I feel he's good at using that, the shoulder bump and getting to the basket. So,
well, Booker and Beal, both those guys are buckets, man. Yeah. They know how to get their shots at any level from anywhere in space. Have you met Jalen Green yet?
I have. It was 2 years ago, whenever the first Jalen Green camp was out here. I was invited to be one of the coaches.
Okay.
So, and then when he came, they were all taking pictures. So I tried to sneak into the line while the campers and stuff and get my picture. So, yeah.
Did you, like, shake his hand or introduce yourself and all that stuff?
I didn't introduce myself. I dabbed him up and got a picture. And then I had him and Josh Christopher sign the shoes that they gave us at the camp.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. That's awesome. So, Julius, obviously you're in your junior year. You got your senior year still ahead of you, and you're big on the summer basketball, right? Do you AAU? What's your AAU affiliate?
Last year I played 16U with the Soldiers.
So, is that run out of this area?
In Oakland.
It's Oakland.
Yeah, and right now AAU's in the back of my mind right now. I'm focusing on high school, so trying to make that run again.
So, what do you have goals to play college basketball?
Yeah, I want to go to Kansas.
Want to go to Kansas?
Yeah.
What's attractive about Kansas?
It's just the way – I like the way Bill Self produces long-term players in the league. Like Joel Embiid, Devontae Graham, all of them. They're all good. Joel Embiid's one of, like, the MVP, but like, the other ones, like the Christian Browns of them, they're not really heard of.
Yeah.
But they still produce for their teams and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, Julius, you got the skill set, man. 6'5". I love seeing those assist numbers go up. We know we could score the bucket. Those rebound numbers are in double digits all the time. We got about 3 minutes here, guys. So, Julius, I want to ask you. Let's continue with this. Like, your goals. I love that how you said, I'm not thinking about AAU, right? I'm thinking about this season, what I could do to help this team. You know, personally, how you feel like your game has improved, you know, from the mental aspect, from, you know, physical skills are there, but how have you improved, and what do you wish to be mentally?
Just more mentally, like, poised and polished. And I feel I'm getting there slowly. Like the assist, I'm seeing the floor differently. I'm directing my teammates where to go, getting the open looks and stuff. So I feel I'm getting better.
Well, a lot of athletes at various levels, they talk about how the game slows down at certain points.
Oh, yeah,
how
it
opens up. So it sounds like it's slowing down a little bit for you. All right, I got to ask this question. We got a couple different generations here, me and Brad, right? We're about the same age.
Yep.
Just keep it at that. And we got a youngster here, Julia, sitting between us. All right, Michael Jordan, or I'm doing it. Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Who's the GOAT?
Me, I want to say Michael. People don't like my answer. It's always LeBron. I just got to say Michael. Like, the way the game is from back then to now, like, I don't know. I got to say Michael. Michael's just a dog.
That's a beautiful answer. And you know what? And we need to talk about this beforehand because I was expecting you to say LeBron James because that's LeBron, what everybody
LeBron's
said.
LeBron's a great basketball player, but I got to say Michael.
Because we were going to have a little back and forth.
Yeah.
if you would have said LeBron. Okay, so you're Michael Jordan guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brad, we agree. Or not?
No.
You know, I'm going to say LeBron.
Oh, yeah. He's doing it. Oh.
I like to be different.
I can't tell you I'm a Laker fan. I'm not going to say that, you know. Let me tell you, there's probably 10 reasons why it should be Michael. And there's probably 10 reasons why it should be LeBron. It's a tough question, Paul. You stumped us. You stumped me, but I'm going to lean towards LeBron. Sorry,
Jude. I would have put money on it. That would have been the opposite. Julius would have went LeBron. And, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm, of course, Jordan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron,
can't go
though,
wrong.
It can't go wrong. No. You can't go wrong. But, I mean, he's an icon. Both are icons.
Yeah.
All right. We've got about another minute here. Brad, San Joaquin Memorial will win league and or a Central Section championship if what?
If we guard the basketball. Very simple. And that was our key towards the end of last year. I mean, we were a play away from beating St. Joe's and possibly getting to the section title game. But
yeah,
we really started guarding the ball last year about this time, and it's still monumental importance for us. And if we can do that, we're going to be all right.
Good stuff. All right, we got to wrap it up here. Julius, thanks for joining us, man. I'm a fan of yours, so happy to have you on the show. You're a great kid. You're going to do great things the rest of the year and your senior year as well and moving forward. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, Todd Brown of Emmanuel, Josh Bergman of CVC, Brad Rosnowski, and Julius Olamuraju. I'm headed to Disneyland after this. I am
right.
stoked.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Paul.